You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
One hint, the worst is yet to come.
Oh, it's a Facebook Friday on Sports Night with Parker and the Man. I hope you're out there having a great time, because we're having a great time in here tonight. This P.K. Subban story is just a lot of fun. You know, it's just
fun.
One of those great feel-good type stories of the year, isn't it?
Oh, stop. It's just turned your stomach. 248-848-1130, and we're just trying to make some sense of it.
Good luck with that, fella.
I'm saddened. I think it's absolutely outrageous.
Again, Subban scores the winning goal for the Canadians in double overtime, and people got on the social media and went crazy with because P.K. Subban is
he's not just black, Mark.
African-Canadian gentleman. Something.
And he's very dark-skinned. He's blue-black. He's so black he looks blue.
He's also a terrific hockey player. Sean in Grosse Pointe, you're on Sports Night with Parker and the Man. Hi, Sean.
Yeah, hi, Mark. Hi, Rob. First off, I want to say it's great that you're both back on the air together.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. We're very happy.
And I find this behavior absolutely deplorable and disgusting. And the one thing I can't help but think is that these individuals express this behavior out in public, I guarantee you. They're just not the type to just sit behind a keyboard. And I think one of the major problems is that most people will not confront these individuals when they start with their racist comments. Most people just sit there and be uncomfortable, or they'll exit without saying anything. And
you know what? I appreciate you saying that. You know why? Because I always say this. The reason that bad things continue to happen is because good people don't do anything. And you're absolutely right. I would never stand to allow people to treat anybody anyway. If I was just there and they were messing with a handicapped person or a Hispanic person or Asian person making fun of them.
What about the Shaquille O'Neal thing? We never even brought that up.
I will stop.
The whole Shaq thing with the was deplorable to me.
Another one.
I can't get that visual out of my head with Shaq and that poor kid. You know, I just can't get it out of my head. And you see it all the time still.
Yep.
If you haven't seen the picture, go see the picture. No, don't see it. Don't even look at it. Don't give it the credence that Shaquille O'Neal gave it.
But, Sean, I totally agree that people like this are probably not only just behind a keyboard or a little iPhone or whatever.
They're walking around. They're doing it on the iPhone or the Android. This isn't just everybody in a darkened room
probably,
at 3 in the morning doing this.
They probably made my hamburger this afternoon.
Might have.
And you can't continue as a society to just sit there and pretend nothing is happening. You have to be willing to have the courage to sit there and say to the individual, excuse me, I don't talk like that. I don't believe in that. And please cease.
Right, at least when you're around me or whatever. Right.
These people back down when you do that. And the person that taught me how that was my father, because he would not tolerate racist remarks. He also would not tolerate foul language.
Hey, Sean, you know what I just did? I have both my parents alive. Unfortunately, Rob does not.
Right.
I called both my mother and my father. They're divorced. My mother lives in Chicago. My dad is in 50 miles north of Manhattan,
upstate New York. Right.
I called both of them. I said, can I give you a big thank you? Because me, my two sisters, and as far as I know, my aunt, my close cousins.
You didn't have that.
Not a bone in our body. Never heard it one time in my house, not once. And I've said this story last week about my Southern grandmother.
Right.
And she wanted the Confederacy to rise again. Never once said a disparaging word about an African-American person in her life that I ever heard.
And that's where it starts is, Rob hit it on the head. You have to confront these people because that's how
you get there. Yep, Sean, thanks for calling. 248-848-1130.
Jimmy, you're on Sports Night with Parker DeMann. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How you doing?
I'm good. This is Jimmy, Planet of the H, man.
Yes.
But I don't know if I want to say that tonight with the topic that we...
No, you don't want to say that. You don't.
Yeah. Okay, it's a Facebook Friday. All right, Rob and Mark, when I first went on Facebook, it was like in 2011. And as soon as I went on there, I'm from Georgia, a little small town, and I played sports all the way up through high school. soon as I went on Facebook, everybody friended me, you know, guys that I haven't heard from in 30 years or so or more.
Uh-huh.
And I started looking at some of the stuff that they was printing, and I was like, whoa. And then so I would respond to a few of them because, you know, Obama was running for re-election.
Right.
And, boy, they just went crazy. And then November 7th, after the election, I got dumped by so many people because they was duped.
Fox News thought, I mean, if you go back, they said it was going to be a landslide. Right, the other way.
No one has ever apologized to me for saying, I'm telling you, the guy's going to win again. And I'm not a genius, but no one ever said, people would shot me down, said Mitt Romney. You know,
Mitt Romney by a landslide. Go back.
I heard the L word.
Right, right. And then on top of that, I'm like, I think they just kept me around so they can gloat on Mitt Romney's win.
Right, and as soon as he lost, right, they didn't need you anymore.
Off the ship.
They dropped me.
Dude, and they were jumping.
Friends that I had for years.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. That's sad, though, Jimmy. It really
is. It is sad. But y'all guys doing a good job, man.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate it. 248-848-1130.
Todd, Lake Orion, you're on Sports Night with Parker DeMann. Hi, Todd.
Hey, good afternoon. Evening, actually. To me, this is just a pretty big subject to try to be tackling. And obviously the comments, I've never posted on a Facebook page. I don't know what Twitter is.
Is that you?
How old are you, Todd?
I'm in my mid-40s.
Okay. Wait, Todd, you said you've never posted on Facebook and don't even know what Twitter is.
Well, I've heard. I mean, I've never used it.
Okay. So here we are. Rob Parker and I have sent out thousands of tweets. We're both on Facebook.
Yep.
You've never done any of it.
No.
Okay.
Go ahead.
But my point of it is this, and while we could all hopefully, most sensible, sane individuals can realize that the specific incident that you're talking about and racial overtones on this player, it's ridiculous. But, you know, in this country, you have the right and you have the opportunity, because in a lot of places in the world you don't. Certainly most people would agree on racism. But what do you do on ideas like abortion, where people are very, very convinced that they're right? What do you do about gay marriage? I mean, you can't. Censorship is a bad thing.
No one wants censorship. No one's saying. I totally agree. As a guy, hold on, Todd. I'll let you speak. But as a guy who's made his living in the newspaper business and writing, I'm not for censorship. But people don't understand what freedom of speech is. Freedom of speech means that if you speak out against the government or you speak out against Barack Obama or whatever, the police aren't going to knock on your door. Not going to knock on your door and say, Todd, you said something about Barack Obama, we're taking you to jail, okay? Wait a minute, just hear me out. So that's not the issue. But there are repercussions when you work for people, when you represent other people, and you put out views like that. It's not about being politically correct. It's just that you're bad for business, and that's why people wind up getting in trouble.
But a lot of things are bad for business that are very important, very passionate to a lot of people, Rob. I mean, let's be honest. Let's say I have a complaint with General Motors and the recall issue. The only way I get to express my opinion in a way that I feel is heard is to, and I don't personally choose to do this, put it out on a forum where people are going to.
But the difference is, Todd, the difference.
No, let me finish.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you, if I take the time to write a strongly worded letter to the CEO of General Motors, I'm 99.9999999% positive they'll never see it, Rob.
No, but Todd, the only difference is what you're saying does not. But no, no, no.
Now.
But it doesn't. But that doesn't. Subin didn't do anything. What did he do wrong? He didn't do anything. You're talking about a situation at Ford or where they turned their
or even something as sensitive as pro-choice and pro-life.
Exactly. But what did he do? What did he do other than score a winning goal for his team? He didn't do anything wrong to get this. What did he do? The only thing he did was he has black skin.
Listen, I understand that, but what my point is, this is the world we live in. This is how people communicate. This is how people feel comfortable expressing themselves. You can't get people to get motivated to go down to do 99% of anything. What they are willing to do is sit in front of a keyboard.
Okay, we get that part.
But that's not going to go away. It's only going to get worse.
I understand. But, Todd, do you understand that the whole thing we're talking about, if someone wants to say P.K. Subban's not a good player.
He's a bum. He's lucky.
Terrible.
He's terrible. I get all that. And you know what?
No one says boo.
Nobody says boo because we understand that. There are people who hate certain other players because they always beat up on the Tigers or beat up on the Pistons.
See, Todd, you haven't
seen
this?
We get that.
I'm showing it as a piece of paper I'm holding. If you saw what we're talking about,
I don't know. Did you see it, Todd? Did you even see it?
The swear words. Todd, here's what I believe. You don't use the two items. I believe this is how you should handle your Twitter and Facebook life. Anything you've written since day one, you should be proud to go back and look at again.
And have your picture attached to it. It just shouldn't be stuff that you would be embarrassed if it was brought to your attention.
But it's been like that way forever. Why are we trying to change the rules now?
I don't know what you mean by that. What are you talking about?
Well, first of all, social media is only 17 years or computer life.
My point is people write letters to the editor of every paper. You don't know that they're putting their real name and their real address in it, do you?
Of course you don't, right? That could be fake.
I got a drawer full of racist letters when I was a columnist at the papers. I got the stuff. I got the emails. I got it.
I'm not arguing the content of what people write. I'm arguing that it's their right.
We've never said that they didn't have a right, Todd. When did we say that you don't have a right? But you also have a right to be denounced by people who don't believe that.
Todd, I think we're talking two different things.
Yes,
again. They got their freedom of speech.
People who go on the internet should have to use their real name or put a picture on it. We've never held anybody to that criteria.
Okay, that's fine. That's your opinion.
We agree to disagree.
But the other thing about it is, they got their freedom of speech.
They said what they want.
Now
right.
We're commenting on our side of it. I'm holding their freedom of speech. Nobody from the government came over to their house, closed their computer down,
said you can't
use
that word.
The N-word about P.K. Subban. Sorry, they said it. There it is.
I'm not
got it out there.
The government conspiracy about that. I'm just simply saying there have been idiots. There will be idiots. There will always be idiots.
And that's fine.
Part of the way we find out they're idiots is by letting them announce it to the world.
Well, and that's what happened with.
Should never do anything.
That's what happened with Donald Sterling, and then that's what's happened here. How's that?
What's up, Buster?
Hi, lovely sports week, eh?
I know, unbelievable.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Oh,
good times, baby.
Oh, by the way, here's a trivia question: who were the first two Hispanics to hit 500 home runs?
The first two Hispanics to hit 500
Hispanic players.
500 home runs.
500.
Yeah.
I want to say, is it A-Rod and A-Rod and
A-Rod's born in you mean born?
He's
there?
He's Hispanic. He's of Hispanic descent. He's not.
I know he's born in Miami. Yeah.
No, but he's Hispanic. He's Hispanic. How many home runs did Roberto Clemente?
Who's the last Scottish guy to do it?
Right.
Roberto Clemente had 240.
Yeah, Clemente never hit
500. Oh, no, he had 3,000 hits. I was thinking 3,000 hits. Don't tell me you're thinking
It's got to be A-Rod than someone else if you got to go not born there.
And from Boston,
Ted Williams.
Teddy Baseball. Wasn't he Hispanic?
Ted Williams?
Yes, he was.
He was, Mark, yes.
You got it.
Ted was he born in Mexico?
Chicano, and the second one.
See, I knew it was Ted Williams.
Yeah, because we always think of him as Hispanic.
Ricky Jackson.
Reginald Martinez Jackson.
Whose father was Puerto Rican and Frank Crawian, I think.
Yeah, I knew that Reggie was from
those two.
Multicultural.
Anyway, but the thing of it, this is, all these racist Facebook misses about P.K. Subban, well, you could say that Boston has had a history of this kind of stuff. I mean, right from when Bill Russell played for the Celtics and they were on a road trip, and I guess some people are broken and defecated on his bed, right to that, and to the anti-busing demonstrations and riots in 74 and 75 over there in the Charles Stewart thing. But, for all those kind of things, they have Massachusetts had, I believe, the first elected black U.S. senator, and I think they have the only black governor over there. But that kind of thing, it's just that you wish that people would have a little bit more, I guess, guts to hide behind thinking they're they're invisible and just because they would never say this stuff to Subban's face. That's the only thing that bothers me about it. Now, people can be as stupid and prejudiced as they want.
Now, Buster, let me stop you and ask you one question. Mm-hmm. What is it like? Because whenever I look at guys, black guys from Canada, I always just say, they're Canadians. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't know. Does the same thing happen there? I always get the sense that.
Yeah, heck yeah.
Does it? Okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm asking.
3 years ago, my buddy went to this school called Walkerville. It's about 3 miles from where I live. And usually everybody there is pretty harmonious. But you had an incident about 2 years ago before the end of the school year where some people wrote the N-word and other racist slurs and also some oaths to Hitler in one of the restrooms. And they had black teachers over there, and they were one of the first schools here to have a black studies program, first high schools here. Plus, about 4 years ago in Nova Scotia, which is in the Maritimes, some people burned a cross on an interracial.
Yeah, that was famous. That incident made international news, the one in Nova Scotia.
And the premier and lieutenant governor, who's an African-Canadian woman, went over there to talk to people. Plus, the people in the neighborhood, I guess, went and found the miscreants and either turned them over to the police or themselves, or at least because they were as angry as the victims were.
Wow. Thanks, Buster. Appreciate it. All right, we'll take more of your phone calls. I know people still want to get in on this. 248-848-1130. It's the news. It's what's happened.
No, again, don't have to justify when I see this kind of stuff. This is the world we live. It's 2014. If we were doing this in 1994, there wouldn't have been any of these. Occasionally, a couple of letters you would have heard about. They would have been sent.
Or they had to fax them in.
3 or 4 days later, or a fax would have come in. And then, you know what? You know what they used to do with the faxes? Rip them up and throw them in the garbage. But unfortunately, this stuff stays electronically, stays digitally. That's where this is the difference between writing a letter in the old days or even sending a fax or a telegram as where it stands today. Because this stays in the ether forever. You'll be able to find this no matter who you are. I just don't know what possesses. Hey, have at it, brother, but I don't know what possesses. This is what you took time to do? Because a guy scored a goal against the Bruins. A poor PK scores a goal. This is what I'm going to get on that thing and write this. 248-848-1130 at Sports Night with Parker and the Man. Detroit's 1130 WDFN The Fan.
What did he say?
Him say.
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
Time now for Bob Krause's Lighter Side of Golf. BobKrauseGolf.com. He's our guy. He's our guru. Bob Krause on The Fan.
I'm Bob Krause. This is The Lighter Side of Golf. Everyone hates this. You hit one down the middle of the fairway, and you have a lie that's undesirable. This tip today is going to focus on the uphill undesirable shot. Now, you have to remember that when you have an uphill shot, you have to add one club. So let's say you have a 6-iron in your hand, 6-iron distance, which is, let's say, 175 yards. What it's going to do is it's going to add loft coming through. So the 6-iron will actually turn into a 7-iron. So in fact, what you need to do is go to a 5-iron. Because the 5-iron will then add loft with the uphill lie and really turn into a true 6-iron. So remember to add one club when the ball is setting an uphill lie. The next thing you need to really make sure you do is make sure you get up the hill and through the shot. This will really make sure that you stay through and down into the hill and you'll really hit the ball more on line. Don't hang back. When people hang back, they hit the ball thin, they top it, they try to help the ball in the air with their hands, and it's just a bad way to approach a shot. So try this, and you will certainly hit more consistent shots. I'm Bob Krause. That's The Lighter Side of Golf.
Rob and Mark do it right every night. Parker and the Man.
Parker and the Man.
On Detroit's 1130 WDFN The Fan.
All right, sports wrap coming up in a little bit. Got a big 8 o'clock hour as well here on a Friday. I'm telling you, it's a Facebook Friday. And Dan McNamara was just here and brought us some stuff from Hazel Park because they got the big thing with the Paramutuals tomorrow for the Kentucky Derby. Rob and I will be making our picks for the Derby later on in the program. That is a segment you do not want to miss. Because if you don't know who you're picking yet for the 140th run for the Roses, nobody knows his thoroughbreds like Rob Parker.
I might have to change my pick that I have my pick and click on my column.
Don't
for
say
click
it
on
yet.
Detroit. I'm just saying. I might have to. All right, 248-848-1130.
Henry is calling from Canada. You're on Sports Night with Parker DeMann. Hi, Henry.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great, bud.
Well, I just wanted to call and say, you know, I'm a Montreal Canadiens fan and a Canadian. And, you know, I read some of the comments today before I started driving, and it's disgusting what's going on. But racism is alive and well all over the world, especially all over the United States. And it is around in Canada. I travel extensively for work, and the comments I hear sometimes, it's there. It comes out on Twitter. Some people are, I don't know, are they stupid enough to do it? But I think we're underestimating how much racism there is out there.
I agree. I agree. I think we got lulled into it. And I just told Mark, I don't know if you heard it earlier in the show. How old are you, Henry?
I'm 31.
Okay, so you're a young guy. And what's scary, and I said this to Mark, I don't know if you heard it, but I'll repeat it, is that there are no 80-year-old guys on Twitter.
These are none. There are some.
You know what I mean? These are young people.
Exactly.
Mark, what did you say the average age is?
I was 26.
26 is the average age. So why are 26-year-olds who grew up in a time where you saw an African-American, black people came over here as slaves, and you got an African-American president now, right? And you're going to tell me that this... this hasn't changed the thinking. Look at all the young people who came out to vote for Barack Obama, right?
Exactly.
I'm shocked by this.
My biggest thing is, and no disrespect to anybody that's a hyphenated American, I think that, or a hyphenated Canadian, I think it's disrespectful to call somebody that's born in this country, Canada or the USA, just because they're black, Asian, Latino, African American.
Right.
Shouldn't be. That's my point of view. I apologize.
No, I understand what you're saying, and a lot of people hold on to that. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because it's hard, and I'm just going from the black community. Mm-hmm. It's hard to feel that way, to just be saying you're American. You know why? Because in order to love your country, you need to be loved back.
And you're not. And you know what? I see it all the time when I'm all over the States.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And that makes sense. I never thought of it that way.
That's the way it is, and that's why people talk about it. That doesn't mean that black people don't love this country, because I tell people all the time, you know, I remember watching, I'm just a real sidetrack, Bill O'Reilly had the show on, and it was about, somebody did a story.
I think we'll do that live.
About, we'll have to do it live. And people were saying that black people aren't patriotic. You know why? Because black people don't fly flags in front of their houses. I don't know if you've ever, okay, that was the whole thing. So Bill O'Reilly's on, and he's going on and on about how black people aren't patriotic. So his guest was a black man, and he said, excuse me? He said, how dare you say that? He said, black people make up 13% of the population and 40% of the military. How dare you say
you
we're not patriotic?
Blanket it that
yes, we're not patriotic.
Both of my neighbors that are African-American have flags.
No, but I'm just, but the ultimate sacrifice, are you about flag waving or giving up the ultimate sacrifice to fight for your country? How could you say people aren't patriotic? It's outrageous. Yeah.
It's only okay if you advertise it, but your kids don't need to be.
Exactly. Crazy. Yeah. Thanks, Henry.
Hey, no problem, guys. Have a good one, and thanks for sharing your opinion.
Nope. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
I like the calls from Canada. Get the Canadian people in.
Old
coming
Canada.
Up, we got a sports wrap. We'll get you caught up on what's going on. Hoops, hockey, baseball, got a lot of stuff. Weigh in today.
Also, Tigers have a new pitcher. Not pitching yet for them, but we'll tell you about that. Is that good, bad, or indifferent? I'm going to tell you, Mark, they got some bullpen help,
uh-oh,
but I'm not that
are you
crazy
not happy
about
with
it.
Mr. Joel
I'm
Hanrahan?
Not happy, Murray.
Joel
you hear me?
Hanrahan.
We'll talk about that. There's a big fight this weekend. We got a Woo. Boxer coming on to break it down later on at 9 o'clock hour. We have that. Eric Olson, he'll be joining us, Mark. And
that's if we can break Floyd Mayweather away from the M Hotel and Casino and Resort in
also
Las Vegas.
That kid Crawford from Cass Tech.
Campbell,
I mean.
J.Ru Campbell.
That's another story that we want to touch
if
into.
If you haven't heard what happened to him, let's just put it this way. There is a sentencing date, but you might be surprised a little bit as to how we got to the sentencing date, which won't be till May 30th. 248-848-1130 at Sports Night with Parker DeMann. We're into the 8 o'clock hour on Detroit's 1130 WDFN, The Fan.
You're listening to Sports Night with Parker and the Man.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.